John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're looking at the praise of God. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're looking at the praise of God. And we're going to go over certain things we said last week for the sake of clarity. I'm going to read from verse 20. The woman by the well. We don't know her name, so her name is Woman by the Well. Hallelujah. Alright, so he says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you see that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain at Jerusalem worship the Father. Can you see? You worship, you know not what. We know who we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Notice what the woman was arguing with, that they worship God on this mountain. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Jesus said, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor here at Jerusalem worship the Father. Why? You worship, you know not what. We know who we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So we said, worship has to do with ascribing what? Praise, worship. It has to do with ascribing what? It has to do with speaking of the status and reputation of an individual, his accomplishment. So it's not worship when you don't know who you're worshiping. It's not called worship. So notice, you shall neither worship the Father, neither in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. So Jesus introduced the Father fact in salvation here. Because God can only be worshipped properly as Father. And as simple as that is, if you go outside the circumference of that understanding, you will step out of true praise and worship. Notice, our fathers worship God in this mountain. You say in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. So there were two factions, there were two truths presented to them. You say, the hour cometh that you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So in salvation, which has been God's plan from the beginning of time, God's plan was to father children, was to have children. That's God's plan. So Jesus introduces God as Father, and if he's Father, then the way you have been worshiping cannot be called true worship. Because if he's Father, then he can't be in a mountain nor in a physical temple. He can't be. We're talking about worshiping the Father. You shall neither at this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. He says you don't know who you worship. So you don't begin to say something is praise or worship until you know the identity, the personality, the character, the reputation of the one you're worshiping. So more often than not, we worship God based on reported speech, not based on revelation. And that's very important. And that's why it seems as though, again, one of the ways you know you're growing in the things of the Spirit is that when the revelation of God's word enters into your heart, it's not that we said, it is that you can no longer condone certain songs that people call worship. You can condone them at parties that people are singing for people to dance, but you cannot condone them as praise and worship. Because worship has to do with ascribing what? That's what worship is. That's important. Then Jesus continues and says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers. So he just introduced Father fact in salvation now. The reason why worshipping God can be on this mountain on Jerusalem is because God is meant to be recognized and realized as Father. He had already said in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18, no man had seen God at any time. What does it mean when no man has seen God? Did God appear to men in the Old Testament? Yes, he did. So no man has seen God means full disclosure, full revelation. That's what we mean by no man can see God. People had visions, visitations, revelations of God. But no man has seen God means the way he truly is. None of you have seen him as Father. Because if you have seen him as Father, you will have been saved. And seeing him as Father is not possible. Except you understand that I am the way. I am in the truth. I am in the life. I am the way that is the truth, which is the life. Without that, you can never see him as Father. So no man has seen God at any time. Doesn't mean people didn't have visitations. So there were partial appearances and visitations, but it wasn't a complete knowledge. Remember what we were looking at when we started about looking at the glory of God. After the signs and the wonders, Moses said, show me your glory. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. Or I will show you the things I'm about to do. And in the subject matter I'm about to do is that I'm about to make men my sons. I will father, they will be to me children. That's my glory. My glory is in making men my sons. That's my glory. So now, the men, the same Moses had sang in Exodus 15, Jehovah is a man of war. What happened? They were delivered from the hands of Egypt. The horseman and the rider, as he thrown into the sea. How many of you remember that? Hallelujah. I hope you know it's in Exodus 15. Who sang the song? Moses. He sang the song. So he sang the song based on what happened in their deliverance. Now, is that the praise of God? No. Is that what they understood by the praise of God? Yes. When you come and the seals are broken and the revelation is opened unto you and the veil lifts from your heart, you begin to look at the epistles, then you notice that nothing was said in the epistles about God throwing the horse and the rider into the sea. Nothing. Who ascribed that to God? Moses. Did God throw the horse and the rider? No. Did Moses say so? Yes. So you can read it in the Bible and it's not true. Hallelujah. Can you see what the Bible talks about? We have to rightly divide what? The word of truth. When you hear that same account in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, by faith, the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea as though on dry ground, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. You will never see God actively drowning anyone. If you go back to the same Exodus chapter 14, you will see Moses actively drowning them, because he was one who was in control of the rod. So the rod parted the sea, the rod brought the sea back. What do you need to do for the Egyptians? Just hold the rod up. Hallelujah. But what was the testimony of the apostles? They attempting to do or without faith, they were drowned. Can you see the difference? Can you see that difference now? So you worship, you know not what. We know who we worship for. Salvation is of the Jews. So he says, the Jews are the limited revelation of God because salvation will come from them. But I am the way, the truth, and the life with respect to who God is as Father. No man therefore has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, the minute he mentions God and Son in the same verse, is telling you the only begotten Son is meant to reveal him to you as Father. Because God is actually a Father. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So, it says the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers. So, if salvation is of the Jews, and salvation is God fathering sons, who will the true worshipper be? Who will true worshippers be? They'll be sons. What does true worship mean? It means to worship an individual exactly as he is, based on what he has done. It means to speak and praise in the light of how you and I became sons of God. He says, the true worshipers shall worship Father in spirit and in what? In truth. In spirit. So in spirit will move him away from a physical abode, a physical location, to the reality of what he has accomplished by making men his sons, which is the indwelling. God lives in us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, he appeals more to the wisdom of men to praise God on certain mighty acts that we see. But even when it comes to mighty acts, what God calls mighty and what men call mighty is not the same. And again, we allow scriptures. What God calls mighty and what men call mighty is not the same. It's not the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. We'll come back here. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 6. Let me read from verse 5. Okay. It's talking about love. Let's go back a bit so that we can see it's talking about. Well, here it speaks about charity. Okay. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, that's a figure of speech, and have not charity, which is love, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Next verse. It says, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and do I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, which is love, I am nothing. Yep. Though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and do I give my body to burn, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity or love suffers long, is kind. Love envies not. Love does not vaunt itself, nor is puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly, nor seeks her own. It's not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices what? In the truth. Love rejoices what? In the truth. The word then is the truth. So again, last week, John's Gospel chapter 8. Imagine Jesus said, I am the way, that is the truth, and what? And what? And the life. So again, what is that truth? What is that way? What is that life? John's Gospel chapter 8, verse 32. He says, let me read from verse 31. Then said Jesus to those who Jesus believed on him, if you continue in my word, they believed on him based on what he had just said. What did he say? He was the way, the truth, and the life. He was pointing their attention to the Father. So he now says, those who believed on him, they believed what he said. They believed what he said he will accomplish. That's what it means. They didn't believe him at that point in time as Savior, because at that time he couldn't save anyone. So the Jews will be, look at what he said. He said, if you continue in my word. So the message I give to you is meant to lead you to a conclusion. I've preached to you, I've spoken to you of things to come. Do you understand that? I've spoken to you of things to come. So if you continue in what I shared with you, then shall you be my disciples indeed, and you shall what? Know the truth. Can you see that? So, and the truth shall what? Make you free. What is the truth? What is the truth? Glory to God. Are you following tonight? Let me read again. What was he speaking of? It was teaching based on what will happen, what will take place. It was teaching about salvation, redemption, realities, what he will accomplish. So he now says that if you continue in the things I've told you, it will lead you to a conclusion. What's that conclusion? You will come to be a recipient of the life I will offer through my death and burial and resurrection. Do you understand now? He says, then shall you be my disciples, and you shall know the truth. Why couldn't he know the truth that time? Because the truth in his manifestation was not yet available. The truth was only available in the message. It was not available yet in what manifestation. Then shall you know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. Now, in case you didn't get what he was speaking when he says the truth, look at what he said in response. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How says thou shall be made free? When they were saying they were Abraham's seed, they assumed that from the writings of Moses, as long as you're a physical descendant of Abraham, you're Abraham's seed. But no. Moses spoke about two kinds of seed, the natural seed and spiritual seed. Christ is Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. So anyone who therefore is in Christ is what? Abraham's seed. But look at what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. Was Abraham a servant of sin? No. What was Abraham? A servant of righteousness. How? By faith in Christ. So he was saying, and the servant does not abide in the house of the Lord, but the son abides ever. If the son therefore, so he began to explain further, it's the son that can make you free. To be made free therefore is not just forgiveness of sins, is that you also be made a son, because only sons can abide in the house whatever. Hallelujah. Can you say that now? If the son, not the servant, a servant has no inheritance, is what it means by the son, servant does not abide in the house whatever. A servant has no inheritance. Only sons have an inheritance. So if the son, how do you become a son? Or how do you receive an inheritance? Or how do you become free from sin? The son has to make you free. So you shall know the truth. What is the truth? That the son will make you free. Glory to God. The son will make you free. So John's Gospel chapter 14 is a breakdown of how the son will make you free. In my father's house, there were many mansions. Is he still speaking plainly? No, he's still using parables. I go to prepare a place for you. If we're not, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place. What does it mean to go? I will die. I'll be buried. If I go and prepare a place, I will come back. So through my sacrifice, I will make a place. I will make room. Now, if they kept thinking he was going to a location where we go and make room, later I told them, the preparation will be in you. Hallelujah. How will I make you a son? It will happen inside of you. I'll create room in you. That's how the Father will come to live in you. Glory to God. So he said, I am the way. I mean the truth, which is what? The life. No man come into the Father except by me. Remember, true worshippers, they shall worship Father how? In spirit and in truth. As God will is. How is God? His Father. His Father. That's what true worship is. So if you attempt therefore to worship God, can you find in the Bible where God did exploits? Yes. Can you find the book of Psalms rather, where certain mighty acts of destruction were ascribed to God? Yes. Is that who God really is? No. How do you know? No man has seen God at any time. Does that mean men have not seen God? No, people have seen God to a degree. There were appearances. Is that God in his fullness? No. Moses said, show me your glory after seeing my tears. So that's not God. God said, I will curse my goodness. What's God's goodness? I've been merciful to him. I'm merciful. Hallelujah. What's that? Salvation in Christ. That's my glory. Hallelujah. You know, it's very interesting. Parting the Red Sea, God didn't see that as glory. The living Israelites, he didn't see that as glory. It was type and shadow of the real. What is God's glory? In the same way he brought men through the Red Sea, he will bring men out of sin into the light of his glory. That's what God calls real glory. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is found in the same place with the Father, he has come to declare. So he says, I am the way that is the truth, which is what? The life. No man cometh. That's the truth. So the work of God, the praise of God, the worship of God is in what he revealed and what he has done in his Son. That's what praise is. So the word rejoices. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. What's the truth? That the Son sets free. The Son makes you a son. The Son makes you a true worshiper. That's the truth. The Son sets free. That's the truth. Hallelujah. So we saw something also. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. We see the Bible language. We allow Bible language to interpret the statements made. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus said, or answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. Again, look at the phrasing, because again, if you're going to interpret what Jesus is saying, how do you know? He's not speaking of God in an active sense. You read it in line with other scriptures to get it. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast heed. Now, in Bible study, as you go on, you will notice the word, because thou hast heed, is one single word. The word you, because you or thou hast heed, is not in the original rendering. Because heeding from the wise and the prudent is what he actually says. Let me read it. Let's read it again. How does he really say it in original context? He says, I thank thee, O Lord of heaven and earth, because heeding from the wise and the prudent are these things which are revealed unto babes. Hallelujah. How many of us understand that reading just now? If you understand, let me say that. Heeding from, now it doesn't say God heed it. Heeding from the wise and prudent are these things which have been what? Revealed to babes. If God hides from one and shows to another, he becomes partial. God becomes a respecter of persons, which is a breaking of God's character. But that's not what he says. The word there is heeding. Heeding from the wise and the prudent. Now, who are the wise and the prudent? We saw them in the epistles. 2 Corinthians 4. Quickly. 2 Corinthians. Am I moving too fast? We've gone over this before. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. Quickly. But if our gospel be hid, it is each them that are. Can gospel be hid? Yes. Does God hide the gospel? No. That's very important. Can the gospel be hid? Yes. Does God hide the gospel? No. So can we say because gospel is hidden, God is hiding it? No. Because verse 6 will tell you, the God that commanded light to shine. If God commands light to shine, then God wants light to be seen at all times. So he says, if our gospel be, it is each them that are lost. So when you're reading Matthew 11:25, you now know those who are called wise and prudent are those who are lost, or those who have elevated knowledge of this word above the knowledge of Christ. Glory to God. You know, in second, I don't, you know, we used to use that scripture to pray. The weapons of our warfare. What did you just say, warfare? 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down what? Strongholds. And when you hear what God is calling mighty, it's foolishness to the wise and prudent. What is he calling mighty? The gospel. The preaching of the gospel is God's weapon of warfare. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Where do strongholds exist? What can you apply to a man's mind? A message of what that will address what is already. So the wise and the prudent have exalted the knowledge of this word above the knowledge of Christ. The Bible calls them, it is he today who are lost. Why do we have 2 Corinthians 10 4? He's talking about the process that happened that made you a believer. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty together to the pulling down of strongholds and every imagination. And the knowledge that exalts God against the knowledge of Christ. So it has cast down my. How did you get saved? Imaginations were cast down. Every knowledge regarded against Christ was removed from your mind. Hallelujah. He's talking about the minds of man, minds of men before the gospel came. When the gospel came, what happened? That gospel is a mighty weapon that cast down imaginations, that pulled down strongholds. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So go back to 2 Corinthians 4. It has been hid from the wise and the prudent and revealed unto babes. Who are the wise and the prudent? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Next verse. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them which. Who are those who are lost? Them which believe not. Who are the ones who are lost? Them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, can you see, of Christ, who is the image of she was, shine. So, when did we see the activity of the God of this world? Is it before they heard the gospel or after they heard? No, read it very well. Read it very, very well. Chief, please let me undo this. It's not working. Just blowing here. So it says, in whom the God of this world, notice, if our gospel be hid, is it to them who are already what? Lost. Now it says, in whom the God of this world have blind mind of them which believe not. So let me ask, the blinding took place before they believe not, or after they believe not? Thank you. So their believing not empowered the God of this world to what? Blind their minds. Can you see that? So when they had, they are called wise and prudent because they've elevated the knowledge of this world against the knowledge of Christ. You know, the Bible says in the 1 Corinthians 1, it says, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why is he using foolishness? He's using language of men that when you hear the preaching, if your mind is out of the wise and the prudent, you have certain philosophical knowledge, you will see the preaching of gospel as foolishness. But to us who are saved, who are those who are saved, who already believe, it is the wisdom of God and what? The power of God. Hallelujah. You see that now. So it says, in whom the God of the world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of what? Should shine. So the blinding took place because they believed not. In their believing not, therefore, they empowered Satan to blind their minds. Glory to God. So let's go back to Matthew 11. Thank you. Matthew 11, 25. Are you there? So at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You now know how to read that place now, don't you? Can you see that now? Because eating from the one wise and the prudent are these things which have been revealed unto babes. Can you see the word babes there? So who are the babes? If the wise and the prudent are those who believe now, who are the babes? Those who believe now. So the word babes does not refer to an infant. It refers to the simplicity of accepting the gospel. It speaks about innocent acceptance. Can you see that now? The babes now. So if that's what babes means, let's now go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 15. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Have you never read? Where would they have read in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the book of Psalms? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of what? Babes and sucklings, thou hast what? Perfected praise. That is not out of the mouth of the children's church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far now? So who are the babes now? Those who have believed. They are called babes. Babes in times of their innocence in receiving the gospel. It says out of their mouth. So what then is perfected praise? Perfected praise has to do with the finished work of Christ in redemption. Notice who have believed. What did they believe? They believe that the Son has set them free. The process by which they were set free is called perfected praise. Hallelujah. The process by which they were set free is called what? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come and receive you again to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. What is that? Perfected praise, or praise in its fullness. So out of the mass of sucklings and babes, or out of the saints who have believed, what did they believe? They believe in the work of God through the Son. They've accepted the testimony of Christ. which is the finished work, that has become one perfected praise. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So with that, now let's go back to Book of Revelation. Again, when you approach the Book of Revelation, don't throw away everything you've learned in the epistles. Don't do that. Is the Book of Revelation an epistle? No, it's not. What is it, the Book of Revelation? How do you begin to read? Start from chapter 1. What does it say? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus scary? No. If you read and you are scared, what is happening? You are not reading it right. I'm just giving certain basic keys. We'll dive into one of these days. Why? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he has signified by his servant. What is it? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not revelation of seven-headed beast. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is the key to unraveling it? It is about Jesus Christ. Are you scared of Jesus? So if you are seeing things that you are scared of, what is going on? You are not reading well. So, Revelation chapter 5, hallelujah. Verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals therefore. When you hear the word seals, it speaks about something that requires interpretation and fulfillment. To open the book doesn't mean to open like this. To open means to decode the book and fulfill the purpose and what is written there. That's what it means to open the book. Can you see that? So he said, who is worthy? Who has the ability to open, which is to fulfill what is written in the book? Now see what it says. And no man was found in heaven, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to the ground. And I wept much. This is a vision. This is John saying, I wept much. So this is John seeing a vision. The book of Revelation has to do with word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Both the past and the present, and the future is present in the revelations. As you're reading it with knowledge of the epistles, you know which one is past. Which one is past? I wept much. He saw what was going on before Christ came. No man was found worthy. What does that mean? That is why God became a man. Hallelujah. No man was found worthy. So what did God do? He became a man. So see what it says. It says, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book now. And I went more because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Can you see that? To open the book, to reveal its contents, to interpret what is written therein. And one of the elders, so this is one of the elders. Can this be one of the apostles? Nope. Because John himself was one of the 12 what? Apostles. So one of the elders would mean one of the elders of Israel, one of the patriarchs. Which of them we don't know. But see what it says. Said unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Is it correct that it's root of David? Yes. Is it correct that the lion of the tribe of Judah? Not really. What is the elder's persuasion? Who is the elder? One of the patriarchs from the Old Testament. What does the Bible tell us about those elders? The prophets, they inquired and sat diligently. So they were inquiring, they were searching, they didn't have perfect knowledge. From their experiences at war and in Israel, who did they think God was? Lion. Not only was he a lion, he's tribalistic, if he was Judah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he was Judah. So he's letting you see. He's still telling you what the other apostles told you. That the prophets inquired and sat diligently until it was revealed to them that it was not to them but unto us. The things they prophesied of the grace that should come to us. Did they have perfect knowledge? No. Were they looking forward to better revelation? Yes. Hallelujah. Remember what John... Okay, look at Ephesians 3 from verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Next verse. Which in other ages was not made known. Can you see that? So before this time, was it fully made known? No. Someone says, why was it not made known? Because the promise was yet to be fulfilled. You notice something in scriptures. The closer the promise drew near to fulfillment, the more light came. So when they spoke, about the sacrifice. When Isaiah said, as a lamb, as the sheep is done before the ears, Isaiah had more light. But when John Baptist was on the scene, he was able to say, behold the lamb of God. So there was more light when he came. But that wasn't the old light. So Paul says, in other ages, it was not made known as it is now revealed. So you can pardon the Old Testament elders because they had what? Limited revelation. As far as they were concerned, God was restricted to Israel. As far as salvation's plan is concerned, God is the praise of the Gentiles. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So, do you understand that so far? So, as it is now revealed on these holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, so Christ is now revealed in a way it was not revealed to the Old Testament prophets before. So, let's go back to Revelation. Glory, glory, glory. So, where are we now? Verse 5. And one of the other said to him, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to what? Open the book and to loose. Again, seals speak about something that is shut up, something that is covered, something that's yet to be made manifest. So the word open there will mean to fulfill the content of the book. So weeping continued until the book was opened. No man was found worthy, or God had to become a man in order to open. How was God described? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And whenever you say the word lion, in Bible language, speaks about a ferocious beast that has to do with destruction, prevailing in war. That was their image. That was their understanding. Again, another rule of interpretation. You will not find the phrase lion of the tribe of Judah anywhere else in the Bible except here. And after a matter of two or three witnesses. So you can never take this as doctrine. Say amen. Say amen. You know we have songs. The Lion of Judah has broken every yoke. He has given us the victory. Amen. Again. The Lion of Judah has broken every yoke. He has given us the... Has he given us victory? Yes. Was it as a lion? That's the problem. Has he given us victory? Yes. Was it as a lion? Let's check. Next verse. And I beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne. What's God's throne? Salvation. In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elder, stood what? A lamb. What did they say was there? A lion. What did John see? A lamb. Notice the phrasing, as it had been slain. Having seven horns and eyes, a lamb. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which had the seven spirits of God sent forth to all they had. What was John expecting to see according to the word of the elder? The lion. What did he see? A lamb. So what was the problem or limitation of the elders until the book is open? The opening of the book, what did he reveal? God as a lion or as a lamb? As a lamb. So can you see that is at variance with the concept of men? If God is going to win a war and prevail, he will do it as a lion. That's the concept of men. If God, or since God has prevailed and won the war, how do you do it? As a lamb. Can you see that now? So how does God want to be recognized? As a lamb. What does a lamb mean? The one who paid the sacrifice for sins. Not the one who sacrificed others for sins. The one who came and paid the sacrifice for what? For sin. God made himself a lamb, or made himself the sacrifice for sins. Is he prevailing? Yes. Is he waging war? Yes. How? As a lamb. Hallelujah. Remember, the war that God won was not physical, it was spiritual. And because it was spiritual, it required more wisdom. And the power of God was in the wisdom of God in becoming a lamb to pay the price for sins, because we were under the dominion of the devil through sin. So see what it says again. I stood a lamb as it had been slain. Notice the language. There stood a lamb. Question. Is it the lamb that was slain that is standing? If it is slain, why is it standing? Hallelujah. Was the lamb slain? Is it standing? Lambs that are slain, do they stand? Is this lamb standing? What does it mean for this lamb to stand? It is risen from the dead. That's resurrection. So did John see a lamb? No. Hallelujah. Okay, how many of you have seen a lamb before? You've seen a lamb before. Okay, so what is John trying to communicate to us with God's speech? Instead of God destroying, I saw God giving himself over to suffer. And I saw him in man risen. I saw a lampstand. He stood as it had been slain. The slain was past. The resurrection is now. Can you see that? That's what he's saying. The book is now open. What does the book opening mean? The veil is lifted from the minds of men. What was the veil? The veil made them see God as a lion. Who is God actually? A lamb. Hallelujah. As a lamb. That changes your songs. You can never see God as a lamb and think these are these of Elijah. You can't. You cannot sing such songs if you know the praise of God, because the praise of God is that he became a lamb. Look at next verse. See what it says. And he came. Who came? The lamb that was slain, that is risen, and took the book out of the right hand that sat upon the throne. Notice, and when they are taking the book, the four beasts and four and 20, this is figure of speech. There's no book. Hallelujah. There's no book. This is the only book. So what book is talking about? Opening the seal, revealing the plan and purpose of God, revealing who God is and what God does. That's what it means to take the book. What is John enjoying? A vision. He's seen what? A vision. What does he take the book? To interpret what is therein. When interpretation was made known, what did they see? A lamb. What happened at the revelation? Look at what happened. And the 20 and elders, they fell down before the lamb. Every one of them, what? Has golden vials full of odors, which are what? The prayers of the saints. So, look at the next one. Look at the next one. And they sung what? A new song. What's the new song? It's no longer lion. What's the new song? It's lamb. Did he prevail? Are you writing that he prevailed? Yes, he prevailed. How did he prevail? As lamb. Notice what it says. It says, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seal, for you have redeemed. How did he redeem us? As a lion? No, as a lamb. Remember, Hebrews 2:14. What does it say? For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Isn't that it? For as much as the children are what? Partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So that through death, how did he die? As a lamb. He might destroy him. So to destroy, does that same thing has overcome? So the word destroy them is to paralyze. So how did God overcome? As a lion, as a lamb. So when you're going to speak of God's mighty acts, will you speak about him destroying the way men speak about destruction? No. Did God destroy? Yes. How did he destroy? As a lamb. Or through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. How did he use death? As a lamb. Glory to God. Is Jehovah a man of war? Yes. In what way? Not by drowning the Egyptians in the sea. How does he wage war? As a lamb. How did the lamb prevail? Not just in death, in his resurrection. Through death, he destroyed him that had the dominion of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through their lifetime were subject to bondage through fear. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. And you see that? As a lamb. So the elders saw the revelation of Christ in a way they've never seen before. They thought it was a lion. What they saw was a lamb. They saw the book, or when the book was opened, the seals was opened. What they saw there was that God prevailed through death, or he offered himself as a sacrifice. That is the praise of God. So what is the new song? It's not the latest album released. No. What's a new song? What were they singing? Look at what they were singing. Let's go back to Revelation. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 5. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy, or you are the one who fulfills the promises in the book. And by fulfilling the promises, you have opened all the seals. You were slain, not you are slain. You were, past tense. And by that slain, your resurrection, you have redeemed us to God by your... Whenever you see the word blood, it's talking about what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. A song we used to sing back then. On the road to Calvary, he died for me. He didn't die on the road. You know that song? He died for me. He died for me. On the road to Calvary, he died for me. And so died to set me free. He died to set you free, but was not on the road. He has to get to the place. And it was not the death on the cross that set you free. It was the unseen death, the spiritual one, that set you free. Because if he died on the cross, he wouldn't be the first person to die on the cross. Or he would be the first person to die spiritually to take your place. Hallelujah. He didn't die on the road though. But he died. Thou was slain. Notice past tense. You were slain to redeem us to God by your blood. So in that verse, if you're reading it in light of the epistles, you know when he mentions blood, he's already speaking about resurrection. Or to your resurrection, every kindred and tongue and people and nation, no longer limited to the Jews. By the resurrection, it became open to the whole world. What were the Jews still saying? The lion of the tribe of Judah. They were tribalistic. Meanwhile, this is kindred, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Hallelujah. And members of the... Paul describes this way. He speaks about three nations. He speaks about the church, the Gentiles, and the Jews. So he speaks about the Jews, the church, and the Gentiles. There are three groups of people. The church comprises of both Jews and Gentiles. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So they sang a new song. So what's a new song? Revelation of redemption. The lamb that was slain. And by his blood has what? Redeemed us. That's what a new song is. A new song is not the one that sounds as the greatest melody. A new song is what has words to explain what God did as a lamb to rescue us. Hallelujah. From destruction. Glory to God. So when we say praise, praise has to do with ascribing what? What is what? What he has done. What he has done. What he has accomplished. If the words of the song speak nothing about the sacrifice of Jesus, about his resurrection, it says nothing about you are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, you can't call it praise. You have to dissect and see, is this the praise of God? So there are things that people say, because again, traditionally speaking, you know, there is deity or invisible spiritual bodies. And people feel like, you know, if you go to a function, particularly if you go to your... How many of us have ever been to a village? You've been to your village. Okay, you have the chant. You know the chant, the way they chant praises. You know you have family praises. How many of them? That when they are chanting like this, your head will be swelling. All the money in your pocket. Except there's no money in your pocket. You just spend everything. So we have this mindset that when we call God certain names, it's there we just swell. So we prefer using all kinds of names. And we miss this name, this name. And then you ask yourself that. How come Jesus didn't do that? How come Jesus didn't do? You're just thinking, why is it? Isn't that maybe we have complicated someone who is so simple? Because that's not the praise of God. Jehovah Jireh is not his name. It's a revelation of his plan and purpose. On the mountain of the Lord, what God will do shall be seen. He will provide himself a lamp. Shalom, peace. He's going to give peace. Doesn't mean that is his name. How does he want to be known? Father. So everyone who had one revelation of that decided to build a tabernacle based on that revelation. And it was not, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten son now comes and says that all of you said different things, but none of you knew that God was Father. How will you be Father? He has redeemed us by his blood out of every nation. That's a new song. It's new because in other ages it was not made known on the sons of men as is what now revealed on the holy apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. Next verse. Is that the last verse? They sang a new song. And you have made us unto our God what? Kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So what's our reigning? As kings. And what? As priests. Glory to God. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I read from verse 8. Hallelujah. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. What circumcision? That belongs to the Jews. It was a minister of circumcision, or salvation came through the Jews. It was a minister of circumcision for the truth of God to confirm what? the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus was a steward, a deacon of the promises, or to confirm, or his stewardship was in order to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was the major promise made to the fathers? Acts chapter 13, verse 32. Quickly. There were promises, but what was the major promises? That is the trend of all the other promises. We declare unto you what? Glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, yeah, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. As also written where? In the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten, the next verse. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said in this manner, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Go back to Romans 15. So see what it says again. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm what? The promise. What was the promise Jesus confirmed? God raised him from the dead. Can you see that? So were there promises? Yes. What was the promise that made sense of all the promises? The resurrection of Jesus. It was a minister to confirm, that is to fulfill, to bring to pass what God has spoken to the fathers. Now, notice verse 9 is explaining what it means by Jesus is a minister. It says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. What's that mercy again in Acts 13, 34, 33? The resurrection of Jesus. The Gentiles might glorify God. How would the Gentiles glorify God? The Gentiles here refers to those who are not saved. When they glorify God, it means they are now saved. How did they glorify God? For the mercy. What's the mercy? In the resurrection of Jesus. You say they may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, that is, I will sing unto your name. He's calling the gospel message a song that's upon the lips of the saints. It's actually saying where you're preaching the gospel is a song upon your lips. See what it says again. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. This is what might glorify. This, in order for this to be a reality, God, through Christ, confirmed the promises so that the Gentiles might glorify. When would they glorify? When they believe. What would they believe? The resurrection of Jesus. See, it is written, for this cause I will confess. The word confess means to acknowledge openly and joyfully a fact. To acknowledge openly and joyfully a fact. What's that fact? God has raised him from where? The dead. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto your name. What is his name? What is his name? What is his name? What he has done. What has he done? He has raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? That is God's name. He's the only one that kills and makes alive. He can't be both. You have to choose one. Does he kill or does he make alive? Which one does he do there? Do men kill? What does God do? He makes alive. By one man's sin, death came. Did God introduce death? We introduce death. So if from the beginning we introduce death, why is death ascribed to God? When God was absent, when death was introduced, God was absent. The activity of God was absent. By one man's sin, death entered. And sin entered the world. By one man's offense, sin entered the world. And death by what? Sin. By one man's offense, sin entered. And then death by sin. So through the activity of Adam, what happened? Death came as a result of sin. What did God do on that same day that it happened? Introduce life. So the resurrection of Jesus, the lamb that stood as one that has been slain, is interpretation once and for all of the nature and character of God, that he is a champion of life and not death. That is how he wants to be praised. Do men praise God as one who kills and makes alive? Yes. They won't have scripture. Is it true? No. So if the elder can be wrong, then you can go back from Genesis to Malachi and read many, many other wrong statements. What is the excuse? No man has seen God at any time. How would they see the only begotten Son? How has he revealed him? By his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did Jesus reveal God? In the resurrection was how Jesus fully revealed God. Men will kill him, or men will kill God, God will raise himself. The Son of Man shall be taken, he shall be killed, and after the third day, he will rise again. What does it mean to rise? To nullify the effect of what men have done. What's the major thing that men have done? They have sinned. What is he going to do? He will offer forgiveness of sins. What is forgiveness? Release from sin and its consequences. He has redeemed us by his blood or by his resurrection. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So, are you in Romans chapter 15? So, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles means I would acknowledge openly and joyfully and loudly. I will sing unto your name. Verse 10. Again, he said, in another scripture says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. Again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. What does it mean that he shall rise to reign? Resurrection. He will rise, and by his rising, he will begin to what? To reign. Glory to God. Is that clear? Is it very clear? So what is a new song? He has redeemed us by his blood. The doings of God. What's God doing? He has raised up Christ again from the dead. Before we go, let's just quickly look at Acts chapter 16. I think we checked it some. I think the first teaching. Acts chapter 16. Now, in this teaching, what will you notice? What is the praise of God? What he has done in the Son? Now, this is one of the reasons why. Can you thank God that you woke up in the morning? Yes. Can you thank God that you were saved from an accident? Yes. What should you thank God for? That others were not rescued. That's not God. So when a believer says that, Father, I thank you. Some people are dead this morning, but I woke up. You have missed it somewhere. You thank him that you woke up. You don't introduce Father that others did not. Because others did not, mean God neglected them. Are you getting me now? That's carnality. If God raises us from the dead, he wants you to see him as a champion of life. It means those you saw that died, he wanted them to live. So you can't praise him for what he hasn't done. The death of others is not God's doing. As I live, saith the Lord, Ezekiel 18, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Is that not in your Bible? I have no pleasure. Can you see the reasoning can be very funny? So you wake up and say, Father Lord. This morning, I'm not in the mortuary. How many put this money in the mortuary? But you say, wait, no. But God doesn't like the fact that there are many people in the mortuary. He's not interested in that. He's interested that many people are alive in Christ. Do you understand? That can be praise of God. And that is one of the reasons why praise is independent of your circumstance, because what he has done, he has done. How can I praise God? What I've been asking for has given me. He's giving you something better. He's giving you his son. That thing they say, what I'm asking God. Some people got it without asking God. They just got it naturally. There are people that live long naturally. There's a village around Ikiti area. The man of God heard about that place and went to that place. He said he just saw something saying about that village. What was he thinking? Obituaries of people. 110, 112, 115. And people are sad when somebody dies at 101. In that place. So young. The person that just passed when he got there was 132. 132. So he knew that there was something about that place and about people living long. There was something. So somebody dies at 60. Someone dies at 90. You don't give God praise for that one. You will thank him that you are alive and well. But you don't say that. At least you preserve me. These other people. As though he doesn't want to what? Preserve them. You know, the Bible says the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah for 120 years. You know what that means? God was saying, God waited for 120 to persuade people to enter the ark. Okay. How patient can you be? It's 120 years old that God was waiting. From the day the ark was they started building till the day they finished building, the day the door was closed. God was every day. Noah was preaching. He preached using the ark. He preached and he was preaching, and God did not allow. So even the building of the ark took that long, because that was God's long suffering, waiting for people to come in. What does that tell you? He actually wants them to come in. He doesn't want any of them to perish. Did they perish? Yes, by their choice. Listen again. God wants to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that how it looks traditionally? But here we have read the yellow book. If you want to destroy, go and destroy. Why will you come and tell me? See, that looks as though God says that we lie from Abraham what I'm doing. Let him tell me, Abraham, how to kill him. What do you think? No, that doesn't make sense. Angels were sent by God to discuss with Abraham that these people have sinned and sin calls for judgment and judgment is about to fall. Abraham, you can do something about it. If you call somebody who can do something about something, does that not imply you don't want that thing to happen? Is it not simple? You don't want that thing to happen, but it's about to happen. Why will it happen? Because of what men have done. So God said, I search for a man among them that will make up the hedge. I found none. So their consequences came. What is God always doing? I sought for a man. But has God found a man? Yes. His name is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. Verse 20. Thank you for that. This is Paul and Silas. He brought them to the magistrate saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Next verse. Quickly, because of time. And the chief customs were not allowed for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. Yeah. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Yeah. And when they had laid many, know the number, many stripes, they cast them into prison, charging the Lord to keep them safely. Yep. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises unto God, and the prisoners had them. You know, sometimes when you are reading, you may not see certain details. How many of you know prisons are a quiet place? Okay, you have not been in prison before. Hang on. If you go to most prisons, they are rowdy. Because they put in a lot of troublemakers. Somebody may be there for just 2 or 3 days because they're a troublemaker. So a lot of noise is going on. Now, Paul and Silas were praising so loudly, all the prisoners heard them. The question is, what did the prisoners hear? That's the question. Because that's not the first time somebody is coming to prison. They bring drunk people to prison to come and sleep off their drunkenness. So people singing is not a new thing. It is what was sung that was a new thing. Are you following? The prisoners had their means. The prisoners paid attention. This person has been beaten. The black back is bleeding. So they were not singing because they were healed. Mm-mm. The back was bleeding. Despite the assault, it didn't stop the praise of God on their mouths. What is done is done. It cannot be undone. That's praise. So praise is not circumcision. It's not based on emotion or feeling. No. Praise is independent of your emotion or feeling. It's based on what God has done in His Son. Hallelujah. So if it's feeling, the last thing you want to do when your back is bleeding is to sing. Don't you say, brethren, let us praise the Lord. You see some people, their faces are so morose. Choir is leading you. As though you are fighting person leading praise worship. And when you get your sluggishly, let us worship God. Let us lift up our hands. As somebody is still doing like this. As though it's a fault of the person leading worship. That you're like that. The person leading worship is only encouraging you to do what we are wired to do. Independent of feeling or situation or circumstance. See what they say. See. Prisoners had them. Next verse quickly. And suddenly there was one, a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's one, bands were loose. Whose activity is that? Whose activity is that? Angels. That's power God working. You know, it's very interesting. In this praise that Paul and Silas sang, the angels rescued without destroying anyone. In the praise that Moses in the praise that Paul and Silas sang, which is revelation of the Lamb, the one who redeems and saves men, who does not want any man to perish. What happened to the prisoners? Earthquake. The bands were loosed. So there was deliverance without destruction. No, go and ask about the earthquake in I-80. They've not recovered it today. So this kind of earthquake now, it was supernaturally caused. And it rocked the prison only, and their chains were loosed. That's angelic activity. And it came out of praise of God. See what it says. See. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prisoners open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had what? fled. Now, what was in the praise that Paul and Silas sang that made hardened criminals stay within the cell? And they didn't go away. But you understand Paul and Silas did not go. What about the others? Why are they staying there? They knew that the prison doors opened supernaturally. They knew from the words that were in the praise of Paul and Silas, it had to do with what happened. They knew. They were in holy hall. The chains are broken. I am not running. You can't run. The power that is there. You were hearing the gospel preached in their praise. It arrested you. So there's a God somewhere. It's not natural for men not to run when they are free. The prisoner automatically knew, this one, they've gone. Before they come for me, let me go. Let me go. The prisoner stayed. How do we know? Look at what Paul said. He supposed he has fled. Look at the next verse. Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Who was in charge of the prison? Who was in charge of the prison? It's Paul. We are all here. He didn't do a count. He knew nobody left. You don't know. Who's in charge? It's Paul. He said, don't do a count. Nobody has left. They can't live with this kind of power. Everybody was there. They heard the gospel preached in the praise. They heard the gospel preached. And the power of God, which will always confirm that has raised Jesus from the dead, was made manifest. Nobody died. If you sing praises and men are dying, it's not the praise of God, though. It's something that you have sung. Let us sing warfare prayer, brethren. In 24 hours, all your enemies. That's not the problem. The problem is that when you are saying enemies, you are thinking of men. And let by tomorrow morning, hear news from the village. Which village? Brethren, we're going to do violent praise. When we finish from 12 to 2 a.m., just wait for news 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. News from the village, phone calls will come of how your enemies have died. And Jesus will say, I died and I rose, I didn't leave. You want to kill them? Come here. So then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down. So Paul and Silas, look at next verse. He said, and he brought them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why are you asking? He heard the gospel preached in the praise. Why would you ask the question if you've not heard the gospel? He heard the gospel preached in their praises. What must I do to be saved? Then they had stopped singing. We preached the gospel in a song. Let us now preach the gospel without song now. See what happened. And they said, believe in Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know it's not one sentence. So they preached though. That's summary. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Did you say, brother? Believe. That's a summary. They preached the gospel. The Bible says, you shall be saved and your house. Next verse. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Next verse. And they took them the same half night and washed their stripes. They were preaching while the pain was still there and the back was still bleeding. And he was baptized, and he and all his straight away. Next verse. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat. They had not eaten. And they were praising him. Before you think praise, when you have food on the table. God, some have food and cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. We have food and we can eat. Glory be to God. Amen. It's okay for kindergarten theology. But bros, you are much more younger one. Whether you have food, you don't have food, the praise of God remains the same. Meat for the belly, belly for the meat. God can destroy both it and them. So beyond the meat for the belly, the praise of God remains the same. He has redeemed us out of every nation by his blood. Can you see it has nothing to do with circumstance? I was even feeling. I don't even feel like it. Your prayer, your praise has nothing to do. Your praise will bring the right feelings. If you say it, you will lose sight of every temporal challenge when you remember God has done the biggest thing ever, the greatest thing. He has given me his son. Why would I doubt his faithfulness? What was Paul doing in prison? Despite the beatings and lashes, we're still on course. Jesus is still risen. The gospel still prevails. That's what Paul was doing. He wasn't even saying so he could be free. He was saying because the gospel forever. The gospel forever. Jesus reigns forever. Even when so that's why Paul was able to tell us in his epistle, said that though I am bound, the word of God is not bound. This doesn't stop God's word from working at all. My misfortune, my sufferings, and my difficulties does not change the fact that God has shown his faithfulness once in the resurrection of Jesus. That's the praise of God. Hallelujah. That's the praise of God. So he set me before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Look at the next verse. And when he was there, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. Yep. And the keeper of the inn told the saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Look at the next verse. Paul said, they've beaten us openly on condemned, being rumors, and have cast us to prison. Now did they toss us from it? Verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. This is one of the parts that baffles me. After they finished eating the yellow sauce, Paul went back to prison. Let them now come and bring us out. We're not going. He went back to prison. This is not about escaping or running away. You realize your mistake, you will come. We are in charge now. So when Paul was in prison, it was really the jailer that was in prison. Paul was in physical prison, jailer was in spiritual prison. The one in spiritual prison was more in trouble than the one in physical prison. The one in physical prison freed the man that was in spiritual prison through the preaching of the gospel in the praise of God. Hallelujah. This is why when we're singing and we're worshiping, pay attention to the words before you say the melody is not sweet. True melody is in the true praise of God. Don't forget that. You have some songs that are melodious and it's nonsense. You are singing absolute nonsense. Yet it sounds good. What do you do if you like the melody? Change the wordings. You have got to be right to change the wordings. So we are not saying don't like a song because of the melody. We are saying change the words to ensure it's the praise of God. If it's not the praise of God, it is not the praise of God. But let it be the praise of God. Hallelujah. What he has done for us in his son. Amen. All right, we'll stop here tonight.